So we start a new book, we start a new Sefer, Sefer Bamidbar. I've said many times that had there no been Sefer Vayikra, no one would have noticed. Right? And Sefer Shmos ended, and we go straight to Bamidbar, no one would have noticed, because we're basically up to the same point. So it begins, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, B'midbar Sinai, B'o'al Moed, B'chod L'chodesh Hasheni, B'shana Hashenit, So it gives us an exact time where we're up to, where we are. This is in B'midbar Sinai, B'o'a Moed, B'chod L'chodesh Hasheni. So what are we up to? B'chod L'chodesh Hasheni. So the Mishkan went up Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Right? They got out, whole year has gone by. And now on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Mishkan went up. But now we're 1 month later. The second pasuk says, Su'u et Rosh Kol Adap Bnei Yisrael, L'mishpachotam, L'beit Avotam, B'mismor Shemot, Kol Zachor L'gulotam. So count them. Pasuk Gimel, B'ben Yisrim Shana V'mala, Kol Yotzei Tzeva Yisrael, Tifkudu Otam, L'tzivotam, Atav Aaron. Now, it's sometimes important to remember Pshat, you know, before we get to everything else today. Pshat is, as it says, Kol Yotzei Tzeva. Right? I mean, it says it. You look in the Sfarno, I believe you look in the Chizkuni, and a couple other Rishonim as well say. The reason is because we've done everything at Har Sinai that we needed to do. I mean, I would almost say more so, even more than we needed to do, but we did everything we needed to do. We got the Torah, okay, it took more time than we anticipated, so now it's time to continue, now it's time to get Eretz Yisrael. That's it. I mean, that's it. There's nothing else which needs to be accomplished at this point. So what's the next thing going to be? The next thing is going to be you're going to go towards the conquest, and therefore you need to know, well, that which actually leads you to another point. So, like, what exactly is the point of a census? When do you take a census? When do you need to take a census? So this census is a very, very clear one. This census is because we're going Kol Yotzei Tzeva. So you need to know how many soldiers you have in order to organize, in order to go forward. So that seems to be pshat. Chizkuni, I told you the Chizkuni. Su'u et rosh lefisha betoch esrim yom yis'u lelechet la'eretz Yisrael. Kedi'it v'parashat balot chavayi b'shana shenit b'chodesh sheni b'esrim l'chodesh v'shom k'tiv nosim anachtum ala makom. So he says within 20 days they're going. So we have 3 weeks preparation to prepare everything, and now we're moving. Nonetheless, Rashi, and let's admit, we all grew up with Rashi, and therefore Rashi colors our understanding and our perspective. So Rashi says like this, Mitoch chibatan lefanav mone otan kol sha'a. Rashi says, because of the love the Kodesh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael, he counts us all the time. Kol sha'a is an interesting term. Well, Kol sha'a, how often has he counted us? Well, let me put this in a different term. What's bothering Rashi? Which means Rashi is coming to explain something, so what exactly is bothering him? So Rashi continues and he explains. He says, well, he explains his perspective, and then we'll have to go one step further to what was that he's trying to explain. Kishiyatsumi Mitzrayim Manam. When the Jews left Egypt, they were counted. Ukishinaflu be'egel Manan. And after the Egel, they were counted again. Leidam Minyan and Altrim, to know how many remained. And now, when the time came that the Shechina should be on them, they counted again. So the first, as we said at the beginning, the first of Nisan, the Mishkan stood, was consecrated, and now, on the first of the year, they're being counted. Now, this Rashi has multiple problems. Did you identify any of them, or just sounded, as I said, we grew up with this, so this is right. How many facts that Rashi states over here are debatable? Well, one, yeah, the count in the post-Egel is very interesting, because who said they were counted post-Egel to see how many were there? And I'll point out another thing. I don't know how good all of you are with math, but the people who are really good at math, they know shortcuts. Right away, they do shortcuts. Over here, there would have been a real easy shortcut. How many people were there by the previous counting? So let's just say right now, for argument's sake, there were 600,000. Okay, why do I say that for argument's sake? Because every time they count them, it comes out to the same number of 600,000. Okay, good. So let's just say there were 600,000 before. How many people died in the Egel incident? 3,000. So is it easier to count 600,000 or to subtract 3,000? Yeah, that's what I thought. Isn't that a great math shortcut? You want to know how many remain, so do 600,000 minus 3,000, and there you go, you have your answer. So to say that they count them again to see how many remained is a little funny. So Rashi said another thing, no, because God loves us so much, that's why he counts us all the time. So Rashi said he counted us when we left Egypt. Okay, is that the case? Did he give us an absolute number? So he counted us, however, we don't know really if that is, yeah, but the number's within a 50. Within 50 is pretty good. So the two possibilities, one it ended up at a 50, the other is that it's rounded off to 50. But either way, within 50 is pretty good. Okay, but still, the sum total ended up with a 50. So you're right, are we dealing with absolute numbers or approximations? I would. Rashi adds over here, it says the counted, Lugugulotam. Rashi says, I deshkolim, Bekalugelet. Rashi says that how do you count it? Because everybody gave a shekel. Everybody gave the shkolim, and that's the chatziyah shekel, and that's how they counted it. Now, there's only one problem with that part of the Rashi, and that is no place over here is there any kind of reference to any of the shkolim. So where are the shkolim that Rashi's talking about? Who made off with the shkolim over here? Collecting the shkolim, and so we don't hear about the shkolim anymore. When they get to the number, it says, Vayu kol pikdei b'nei Yisrael levet avotam. This is in Pasuk Mem Hei. What's the number? You call up Kudim, Sheishmiot Elef, Shloshet Alofim, V'chameishmiot V'chamishim. 303,550. Now, back in Sefer Shemot, and there we have a slightly different introduction. Kitisa Rosh B'nai Yisroel V'kudayim, V'nanu Ish Kofir Navsho L'Hashem B'fkodotam, V'loye B'negev B'fkodotam. So from there we get this understanding. And again, I'm going to say this is a Rashi understanding, and it's not necessarily a universal understanding. From here we get this understanding that counting Jews is something which is dangerous, it's not good, it's something which is sinful, and I can go on and on and on about this. The Nazis counted us, the Nazi gave us numbers, and Jews are much more than numbers, and so on. The continuation of that, when all the money is counted, and Perek Lamed Chet, it says Beka Ligulgolet Machzira Shekel B'Shek Kodesh L'Chol Avim Ukdim Miben Esrim Shana V'Mal L'Sheishmeot Elef U'Shloshet Alefim V'Chameishmeot V'Chamishim. So lo and behold, it's not approximate, it's the exact same number back in Shemot. So there, now that shouldn't be such a big surprise, because when was that counting? That counting was more or less when it's, if we say it's after the Egel, so. And but it's actually, there's another element to it, which is why I'm saying that's why Rashi is a little funny. What was really the reason or the context that they're counting over there? They're counting over there to collect the money in order to build the Mishkan, to the Machzir HaShekel. Which means either this is for the Mishkan itself or for the Korbanot for the Mishkan. This is the Machzir HaShekel, which again, a whole discussion exactly what this particular Truma was for. But it's not just because after the Egel, to see how much left, there's another purpose which is stated over here. Which means Rashi went and told me the reason that we were counting, but it's a little funny because that's not the reason which is stated. And now if I think about it, so when did that happen? So the tzivui of the Mishkan, at least according to Rashi, because we'll be consistent with Rashi, the tzivui for the Mishkan is when? It's sometimes after Yom Kippur. The tzivui is sometimes after Yom Kippur, which means now we're talking about some place between, you can make up the date if you want. You can say that if this counting was actually done, is it for the Korbanos? Is it for the Mishkan? Is this something which was done back in Tishrei? Is it done in Kislev, which is important for all this? Is it done in Nisan? And if it was done in Nisan, then you really have a problem. Why? Because, you have a problem and a solution. What's your problem? Why are you counting twice within a month? And what's your solution? Why did the number come out exactly the same? So if you want to explore an entire different approach to this, some of the various Balei HaTosfot, just to completely ignore Rashi, if you want to especially look at the Bechor Shor, and he says there was only one counting. He said they were not counted when they left Egypt. And his reason for saying that is because it never, I'll read you a little bit, it says as follows, Tziva lemnot et hachayalot sheyechanu saviv lemelech. Right, he says, this is all getting ready. This is the battle. This is the king. It's getting ready, and we have our own way of sitting. And then he writes, I'm skipping a little bit. Vizep hamri shanashanimnu, and this is the first time they were counted. So you're saying, hold it. What happens to all the others? Rashi, you're actually how many times that they were counting? He writes, ki yibitzim etzraim lo nimnu, ki masha hu omer ki. You like the ki? Ki. What's the ki? Kafadimion ki sheishmot elef ragle, around. So why do I have to say around? Zeya omer hadat. That's more or less skipping a little bit more, and then he goes to the one Shmot that it says collect the money and so on. Shekel b'shekel akodas yeshesh mot elef. Zehu zem minyan kan. He goes, that's the one we're talking about now. This, meaning the reason why they're so close in time, this is the same one. And that's why the shkalim aren't mentioned over here, because they were mentioned last time. So he says, yeah, you do count with the shkalim, they're only counted once, and this is the only time, and this is the same time as last time, so now we solve the problem. So meaning, Rashi solved the problem a different way. Rashi said, look, they're counted all the time. Why? Because God loves us so much. And God loves us so much, and he keeps on counting us. And therefore, Rashi finds that counting, and this counting, and the other counting, and the Bechor Shur has only one counting. Although it is one counting and one approximation, and I want to come back to that approximation. Because there's something interesting, and we're going to very subtly move from the Pshat and the Chumash to maybe Machshava, or for that matter, maybe Halacha, and we'll see. Because how do you know when Machshava is real? When it works out in terms of halacha as well. That's a rule, by the way. If a matter of fact, the Rav has a book which is incomprehensible, which is all that means is I don't understand it, and that's called The Halachic Mind. So the whole book, you have to know the history of science, you have to know philosophy, the philosophy of science, philosophy, and if you know all that, then maybe you'll understand it. So, but the last paragraph of the book, not paragraph, the last chapter of the book, he says something which is I found incredibly interesting. I know what you're thinking. So how did I get to the last page if I didn't understand anything before then? No, it's a good question. But in the last chapter, he writes that as far as he's concerned, the Rambam was more successful in the Mishneh Torah compared to the Mirna Vuchim in trying to describe authentic Jewish philosophy. Essentially, he thinks that the Mirna Vuchim is not authentic Jewish philosophy because Jewish philosophy compared to or contrasted to, and you can fill in the blanks, whether at times it's Greek philosophy or whether it's Islamic philosophy, but he feels that simply because it's dealing with those other philosophies, it's not going to be authentic. But on the other hand, he felt that the Mishneh Torah, which is essentially the Gemara being rewritten, and this is in its own terms, this is halacha, but the philosophical ideas which emerged from halacha, he felt was the only authentic Jewish philosophy. That's the conclusion of the book, and therefore study halacha, but contemplate what its philosophical implications may be. So I'm going to actually give you an example of that, but you have to give me a couple of seconds before I get there. The number 600,000 has become a representative number for Klal Yisrael. Shishim Ribo. We use the number, there are Shishim Ribo. Now, in truth, the Shishim Ribo are men between 20 and 60 of fighting age. There's an interesting midrash in Shmot Rabbah Tetvav Yudalid where we have a little back and forth between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just imagine that we're by the snare and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, time for you to go and take the Jews out. And Moshe says back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, excuse me, you're the one who sent them down and you're the one who said that I'll take them out. Which, of course, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can answer, yeah, this is called subcontracting, and therefore, I am taking them out. Now can you go and do it? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes into a little bit of a discussion, and he says, you know, I went down into Egypt because there was one Jewess, who needed to be saved, right? He gave Nagayim, Gedolim, and so on, and he takes her out. And he says, and certainly when it comes to, and that's what I want you to hear, the Lashon over here, he says, "Uma bishvil isha achat yiradati." I went down there to save one woman. Bishvil shishim ribo anashim, v'shishim ribo nashim, v'shishim ribo banim, einu yaredu matzilan. So again, it's interesting that this midrash holds on to the shishim ribo. So it's shishim ribo men, shishim ribo women, shishim ribo children. I mean, it can't say 1.8 million. Excuse me. Makes no difference to me. There's nothing, I told you, remember I told you it's subtle, we just now left the worlds of Pshat? The number, that's exactly the point. It's going to get worse, by the way. The number 600,000 becomes a representative number of Klal Yisrael. What this midrash did is it's a representative number of the totality of Klal Yisrael, but in this particular way, yeah, but what are all the women? Okay, they're also Shishim Ribo. What are the people under 20? They're also Shishim Ribo, which means Shishim Ribo comes to represent Am Yisrael. And I'll say it again. There's a bracha that you make when you see 600,000 Jews. So why 600,000 Jews? And why not a little? Because that's Klal Yisrael, right? You know which bracha? Okay, you know I'm not making this up, that there is such a gemara. Okay, there's a bracha that you make. The Rambam actually understands the Gemara, and it's very easy to understand this from the Gemara. The Rambam understands that it's a bracha you only make in Eretz Yisrael. And that actually is a little bit more interesting. Why would this be a halacha only in Eretz Yisrael that you make such a bracha? That it seems to be saying that in Chutzlar it's going to have lots and lots of Jews, but it's not a kahal. It's not a kehila. It's not a tzibur. No. You know any Rambam in the Peshach Shnayis that says such a thing also? In the Mishnah Bikurim, right. The Rambam says the same thing. Correct. So it's not a tzibur. It's lots and lots of Jews, but it's not a tzibur. But the tzibur, the number, that represents all of Klal Yisrael. Here is another perspective. This is found in the Yalkut Shimoni. What was the du-siach, how do you say, the dialogue between Yaakov Avinu and Shimon and Levi after Shimon and Levi wipe out Shechem? So Yaakov says, how can you do this? I am, what does he say? I'm very small in number. There aren't so many of us. We're going to get wiped out over here. So listen to the way that the Yalkut understands this. V'yomi Yaakov v'Shimon v'Levi achartem oti tzulula hayita hachavit v'achruta, that the barrel as it was pure and you've muddied it up. Misored hi biyad haknanim. This is fascinating. The knanim have a misora. They got from the altar to Zayde. The knanim have a misora. What's the knanim's misora? Shehin atidim li pol biyad bin banai, that they're going to fall to my children. Ella she'omer lo kodesh baruch hu ad asher tifra v'nachlat et ha'aretz b'shishim ribo, that they're only going to fall when my descendants are shishim ribo, which means, again, what did the Chumash say? There's too little of us. So how would you have understood this? We need there to be 20, 50, 100, 1,000, 10,000, make up a number. No. That when we're Shishim Rebo, that's the Masorah that Yaakov says. When we're Shishim Rebo, that's it. They can't stand in our way. But Shishim Rebo, we're victorious. The Shishim Rebo represents, I'm going to say this again, the totality of Klal Yisrael. Let me start with the Gemara, and then I'm going to have to move over to a Zohar. Amar of Asi, there's a Gemara in Yevamot, Daf Samach Gimel, Amud Bet. Amar of Asi, Ein Ben David Ba, because the Mashiach won't come until all the neshamot in the guf are completed. So the Ramban quotes this various times, and he says there's a place called guf. There's a thing called guf. So I'm going to explain to you what this guf is, but again, I'm going to do this based upon the Zohar. The idea of the guf is that it is the totality of all of Klal Yisrael. Let me see if I can... Okay, we will use this one. This is the Zohar Chadosh and Shir HaShirim. I'm skipping lots and lots of this. It says, Ad Shalim Ha'otiyot L'Shishim Ribo K'cheshbon Shiftei Yisrael Shehim Shnei Masa Ba'olul M'Shishim Ribo. And then these, I'm skipping Lino Shakol Husod Shel Guf Shalem. That this is the secret of the guf, this is the secret of the guf shalem, and this is the secret of the 600,000 people. So, are you understanding anything yet, or not yet? Okay, there are various other places also in the Zohar. From the very beginning of the Zohar, it says that in every generation there are 600,000. There's always 600,000, and that's why I keep saying that this represents the totality of Klal Yisrael. So let me now try to explain this a little bit more, but I told you I want to move over to a halacha. But first, I want to make sure that we put two and two together. We're told there's such a thing as guf, and the guf is where all the neshamot are, and now we're told in the Zohar, but how many neshamot are there? There's 600,000. Why the 600,000? Because that represents the totality of Klal Yisrael. You kept that in mind? So here's the halacha. If I made Kiddush Friday night, and you didn't hear Kiddush, and you walk in, can I make Kiddush again? Yeah, can I make Kiddush again afterwards? And again afterwards, yeah. So listen to the way the Ritva says. This is the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Kaftet, Amud Aleph. It says, Pirish kol brachot ha-mitzvah, afal pi sheyatza motzi, she'afal pi sheha-mitzvah mutelet al kol echad hari. Okay, even though each mitzvah, if you will, is on the gavra, each person is required to do that particular mitzvah, hari kol Yisrael arevim zelazeh. How would you translate? All Jews are, they're connected, they're responsible, guarantors for one another, v'kulam guf echad. and they're all one goof. So you could say that's just a turn in phrase, but it's not just a turn in phrase, which means this idea that we're goof echad, what does it mean? That's where the din of arvus comes from, which means that if I look at my own body and this hand and this hand, what's the relationship between them? So this hand doesn't feel well. So this hand is say, why am I going to make the phone call to the doctor? It's not me, it's him. No, this is one goof. So it's one goof. This is interrelated. And it's saying that's the same thing in terms of all the neshamot. All the neshamot are in this goof, but there's a totality of 600,000. Now, the first question that you need to raise on this before we get to another problem. The first question is going to be, but there's way more than 600,000 Jews in many generations, including this generation. So how can I say the totality of the Jews is 600,000 when there's far more than 600,000? So that's a problem. I plan on answering that. But before I get there, there's another thing which is problematic that I want to bring into the discussion as well, because I think that it's a problem which is interrelated. So I have a book over here, which is one of these books that you should certainly own. I think they sell it. I got it for 8 shekel. It was probably a couple of years ago. So it's from Reuven Margolios. There were lots of these little books, collected articles, collected things. He was one of the really big Bekiyim of, I would say, last generation, but he died a good time ago. And he mentions over here, he quotes here from the Megala Amukos. Have you heard the Megala Amukos? Okay. So there's a sefer called the Megala. First of all, it's a great name, Megala Amukos. It's like one of the greatest names ever. So the Megala Amukos is a sefer on Chumash. It's written by a Rav whose name was from Krakow. His name was Shapiro. There's actually two people. I think they were first cousins who had the exact same name, and they both wrote Svarim full of Kabbalah, but they were two different people. And his yortzeit is Yud Gimel Av, which is interesting because of his whole sefer, most of it, it's all in Chumash, most of his sefer is on Parshas Veschanan, is when that always comes out. And he has 515, remember Moshe had 515 tefilos in Veschanan, Gematria Veschanan, he has 500 different ofanim, ways of understanding Veschanan. So I'm saying it's a good part of his book. One of the things that he says, and I strongly suspect that this is something at some point in your life you've heard, it's also found in Menachem Azari Defano, L'kol echad miYisrael yesh l'neshama shelo ot echad mishishim ribo otiyot haTorah. Every single Jew, now how many Jews are there? The 600,000. And every single Jew has within his neshama, it is parallel to the 600,000 letters in the Torah. And then he writes, Yisrael is notrikon, the first letters, is yesh shishim ribo otiyot haTorah, is what Yisrael stands for. So there's one little problem with this. And the little problem is, what? The problem is if that there aren't 600,000 letters in the Torah. The problem, right? In reality, there are 304,805 letters in the Torah, which means that we're off by almost half. So I have two parallel problems that need to be dealt with. One is that there's far more Jews than 600,000, and two, that there's far less letters than 600,000. Other than that, it works perfectly. So I know that this is a Chassidish Torah by Shalosh Shudas. Nobody cares anyway if the Gematria works, but that's not fair, is it? Why? Because Megala Mukos is a serious sefer. And the various sources that we see, the 600,000, that's the totality of Klal Yisrael. Before I solve this, I want to read to you another Yalkut Shimoni. This one is in Hosea. He says as follows: Ma yitziat Mitzrayim b'shishim ribo, uknisa la'aretz b'shishim ribo, kach limot haMashiach b'shishim ribo. That 600,000—that's Klal Yisrael. Which it's almost like now am I asking you a question that you never would have said this. Why is it that we didn't leave Egypt until the point we left? So you would say, oh, Memtesh Haritumah, and this, they couldn't stand. And it's basically saying that, no, Klal Yisrael needs to leave Egypt. If you don't have 600,000, it's not Klal Yisrael. Why do we need to count to make sure there are enough Jews still around? Because we can't enter into Eretz Yisrael unless there are 600,000. We need 600,000 to go into Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't work otherwise. Because 600,000 is the totality of Klal Yisrael. So let me now explain a little bit of what we've seen so far. Over here in this article, he then goes through all kinds of different explanations about, you know, how can we reconcile the 304,000 identified letters with the 600,000. So I invite you to look. I suspect most people that have commented on this have taken it from over here. That's what I suspect. Anyway, so here I'm going to say two different explanations, which are not necessarily mutually exclusive. One is going to be based on the Ramban, which is really Yerushalmi and Shkalim. The Ramban, in his introduction to the Chumash, says that the primordial Torah consisted of the black fire on the white fire. So I'm saying that to Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says this already. But what do I gain from this? There's black fire and there's white fire. So what happens when we look at the Sefer Torah? What do you see? You only see the black fire. You don't see the white fire, but the white fire is there. So it's as if then saying, is why do you need klaf? Because klaf is the other part of this. So now I can imagine, I'm not saying this will work precisely, because you're going to try to get me exact on this. So it could be that when there's 600,000 letters, it's including the black fire, including the white fire. So therefore, it's including the ink, the dio, and it's including the spaces between. So if you have roughly 300,000, you have spaces between, so that's going to give you more or less the 600,000. That's one approach. There's another approach, which is also not going to be precise in terms of explaining the phenomena, but that is that various Hebrew letters are made up of multiple letters. Yes? No? Maybe? The letters themselves are made up of more than one letters. So I'd say there's 600,000 letters, but sometimes those letters are, what word would you use? They're compound letters. So therefore, you see one letter, but that one letter is made out of more than one letter, so therefore the 600,000 includes the compound. Now, I want to explain to you why, in terms of Machshava, that's an interesting comment. Dalet and another Vav makes into a Chet, and there are more examples. Although a Pei is a great example for the other one. When you look at a Pei really well, what do you see on the white on the inside? The Beis. And a real proper bet would have, a real proper Pei would have a kosher bet, even with the Kutso Shel Yud inside, if you look at, yeah, you've seen this, you know what I'm talking about? I'm imagining this. Okay. If you look at the Pei in Parsha over there, inside you'll see the bet, which is there. But the way Sofer will write it, there will be a bet inside. Now, let's say there's 600,000 souls in the Guf. So what does that mean? Because we have more Jews than that. So what this would seem to mean is that there are 600,000 core nishamot. Let's call it like this. Sometimes they use metaphors of trees and leaves and branches and so on. That's going to get confusing. I'm going to talk about a corporation and offices. You have one big corporation, that's the Guf. Right? Guf, Inc. Okay? The Guf has 600,000 different offices. Some offices have one person, has a task, completes that task, and basically you can shut down that office because you get a, you know, check next to it, they did what they need to do, they get their pension, they go off into Olam Haba. That check, that goof was completed. Another office is going to give someone to do it, but he's not going to succeed in doing it. So what's going to happen? He's going to get fired, and he's going to get sent to the other place, as it were, and then someone else is going to be brought in to try to do this. And another person. But it gets more complicated than that, because right now I have more than 600,000 Jews. So just imagine, and this will be a total contradiction in terms, just imagine that each neshama is a unique set of spiritual DNA. So there's 600,000 authentic spiritual DNA qualities which exist. Those are your 600,000 different offices. So therefore, each one has to complete its role, and that's when Mashiach comes, when all of those neshamas become complete, at that point Mashiach can come. So remember, I use that metaphor in terms of the letters, that you can have one letter with multiple. So it could be that you have certain people that you need one person who gets halfway, another person does another third, another person gets a little bit more done, another person does a little bit more, that you need multiple people to get one task done. So that would be this idea that there are multiple people with the same type of spiritual DNA. Just again to explore this a step further, when we look at the original Adam, right? Adam Arishon. Look at the original Adam. Kadosh Baruch Hu Yipach Bapov Nishmas Chayim. So Adam gets a neshama. So then Adam gets put asleep, and then we take a rib out of him, and we create another person. So did Chava have a neshama? So I would say that the metaphor over there, it's probably more true in terms of her sharing Adam's neshama than it is in terms of the body. Again, the body is the way that it's described, but I would like to say that these two people are soulmates. When I say soulmates, that these two people have a task together and create a certain type of tikkun. Again, with Adam Harishon, everything is far more complicated in terms of what he was. Did he have all the neshama? I'm not going there, but I'm using this to understand is that this is what that soulmate is that these two together are going to create a tikkun. There is something, by the way, in Kabbalah, which is also known, not so much so as reincarnation, but rather as transmigration. Okay, let's say we have a retired soul, right? He's in the Hall of Fame. Right, Elio Navi's retired, Hall of Fame, he accomplished everything, doesn't need to do anything more. Now what happens, you take an average person, and the average person has certain things they need to accomplish, but based upon, let's just look at it this way, the trajectory of their life takes it from here to here to here, from here to here, and now they need to get up over there. There's no way in the world they can get to there based upon what their capabilities that we see. So therefore, it does speak about the possibility that that person suddenly can get a jump start from this other neshama and take them up where they need to go. So for example, you're going to find that the Zohar is going to explain such a thing in terms of Pinchas, that Pinchas could not have killed Zimri by himself. He's a Nar, right? He could not have done it himself. So where does he get a jump start? Who's the one who gives him this ability to do it? So it's interesting that he goes out and he sees that a chait is taking place. The chait is a chait in terms of sexuality, and where does someone like Pinchas is going to get some kind of koach to do it? So the answer that he gives is two of his uncles come in. So who is two of his uncles? His uncles are Nadav and Avihu. You're never sure. Were they good guys, bad guys? They never got married. They had no Yetzirah. These were people who were able to completely come in, and therefore it says that they joined together, right? Incidentally, Pinchas later will become that all-star Hall of Famer, Eliyahu. And when you say, Ana Hashem Hosheyana, Ana stands for Eliyahu Nadav Navihu. Where did Eliyahu come from? He came that he got a jump start from Nadav Navihu, and that there are times that people can get this... Again, I'm calling this transmigration, which is better than reincarnation. It's not that this person died and this person comes back, but rather it has to do with souls living up to responsibilities, and that seems to be the deeper idea behind this 600,000. I want to read something from the Gra. You want it in English, you want it in Hebrew? What was the decision? So this is also found in the Kol HaTor. And it says as follows, Sha'alti, so the person who writes the Kol HaTorah, again from the Rivlin family, he says, Sha'alti et pi Rabbeinu, I once asked the Gra, Im yeh ha'efsharut b'mitziyut ha'gashmit, if the reality would allow the circumstance, physically, lahavir et kol Yisrael b'pam echad l'aretz Yisrael, to bring everyone over. So now, again, remember, the Gora himself dies in 1797. Before he dies, he calls his family and says, you guys got to get out of Europe. Europe is going to be over. We need to go to a new place. You need to go back to Eretz Israel. That's where salvation will be. That's where the Yeshua is going to come. Don't think he can wait over here in Vilna. No, you have to go over to Eretz Israel. So within these discussions, as he's giving them chizuk and explaining to them what their mission is, and he also explains to each one of them what the sod of their neshama was and what their particular tafkid was, along the way, he reveals to each one along the way, they ask the following question. What if we can bring more Jews at once? But by the way, I believe it was the Gra who said, if you want to figure out what your, I think in his commentary in Mishlei, he said, if you want to figure out what your tafkid in life is, figure out the toughest thing for you to do, and you realize that you failed on that last time around, and that's really what your tafkid is. That's what he says. Okay? So, if, again, Sha'alti et pi Rabbeinum yeha efsharut b'mitziyut hagashmit lavir et kol Yisrael b'pam echad l'eretz Yisrael keitzad lasot harei yamdu lefaneinu shelat rabot v'koshub n'gei l'sidur ha'yishuv. So they're asking seriously, if we can somehow move all the Jews over, what should we do? Acharei iyun rav, after thinking about this for a great deal of time, b'sheila zu anulanu Rabbeinu, he said, im yeha efshar lavir li eretz Yisrael shishim ribo b'pam echad tzrichim lasot zemiyad. He misperses shall sheaf shem rebo kocho gadol v'shalim lachria et asamael to defeat the forces of evil b'shari Yerushalayim in by the gates of Yerushalayim. V'az tishdal tam miyad ha'geula Hashleima b'nei Shmaya b'derech nisit. He goes, and that's how we can move towards the more miraculous end of days. I mean, right? You know that there's two different possibilities. Be'ita, achishena. Is it going to be like an old man riding on a mule, or will it be like Zokin, Rochiv, Chamor? And mules are very stubborn sometimes, and they don't want to go very fast, and you have to kick them a little bit and a little bit more. But mules are very stubborn and slow. Is that the way that the Gula is going to take place? Or it will be like flying on the clouds? So the Gura said that if we could somehow get 600,000... But what is he... He's connecting to what I've already said today. He's connecting to this totality of Klal Yisrael, and that's what this 600,000 is. I will point out something which... is perhaps someplace between surprising and amazing, and you can decide which one it is. But in 1948, there were 600,000 Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And by 1967, there were 600,000 people of fighting age in terms of all of the army and all of the Miluim and so on. There were around 600,000. So it's very interesting of him saying, if you get 600,000 Jews, and then things are going to start working in a much more miraculous fashion. So let's go back then to our parsha. In our parsha, what do we have? We have the Jews have to be counted. But why do they have to be counted? So I'm saying, what's pshat? So never ignore pshat. Pshat is because we need to go to Eretz Yisrael. But sometimes, what did we say? Sometimes the mule is very stubborn. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. Sometimes we're stubborn. Sometimes we don't live up to our expectations. And this 600,000 are going to ultimately be replaced by a new 600,000. This whole generation that left, again, this is the totality, this is Klal Yisrael, but they're all going to get wiped out. 600,000 of them are going to now be buried in the desert, and a new 600,000 is going to have to emerge, and they're going to be counted and emerge, and then we're going to have a new 600,000, and then they can go into Eretz Yisrael. Which means this number of 600,000 is pshat in the Chumash. It's pshat in the Chumash, and those, again, that's pshat. Those who left Egypt, and those who were counted by the time, it's very interesting. Rashi says, again, let's not miss that Rashi. Maybe we did. What did he say? That when it comes to kishebo lahashrot shchinato aleihem manan, that when the shchina is going to come, we need the 600,000. So now realize that the 600,000 is what is represented as Klal Yisrael, and this Klal Yisrael are all of those neshamot together. That's what this holy entity is, and only with that holy entity can the Shekhinah come down upon us. I mean, again, I'm going to say it's the exact opposite of maybe we would have thought. We can't build the Mishkan until you have 600,000 over here. You can't leave Mitzrayim until you have the 600,000. The Gemara in Yoma and the Aftes questions about why the second base of Midrash was destroyed. So it says because not enough Jews came. So you read that by itself and you say, okay, no. It's because not enough Jews came. There weren't 600,000 Jews by Bayashani. If you didn't have 600,000 Jews, again, it says 40,000 came initially. So if you don't have 600,000, so that means it doesn't represent Klal Yisrael, and the Shekhinah can't be here in a complete way. So if you ever wondered for another level to understand why the Shekhinah wasn't here completely, look at this Rashi over here. Rashi says, oh, you count them. And why? Again, just pay attention to what he says. That's when he counts it. Because why? To see if there's 600,000. 600,000, so now the Shekhinah can come down. 600,000, now we can go into Eretz Yisrael. 600,000, now we can defeat Shechem. I'm saying you keep saying this because this means the totality of Klal Yisrael with all of their potential living up to that potential and doing what they need to do. And that's ultimately what it means. That 600,000 is going to be the Geula as well. What do we understand now? Now we understand that it could be, okay, on the one hand, those 600,000 absolutely represent all the letters in the Torah. On the other hand, there's less than letters out of the Torah, but you need more Jews to represent those letters. On the other hand, there's far more Jews than 600,000, because we need far more Jews in order to complete those particular missions. So what we have is, I don't know, how many millions of Jews in the world today? 12, 13, 14 million Jews in the world today. So we only have 600,000 tasks to be completed, and I'd like to believe that a whole bunch of them were already retired and sent off to the Hall of Fame, and they already did. So every now and then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us this little jump start to do what we need to do, and really holy neshamot still come back into this world and give us power to do things that we never imagined that we can do. And okay, so we cheat a little bit. We cheat a little bit and get a little bit, right? You get a ringer in there. and in order to help us do what we need to accomplish. Seder, that's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to have the world work. But nonetheless, whenever we look, so what is the totality of Klal Yisrael? That totality is Shishim Ribo, and that's the number that stood by Har Sinai, and that's the number that accepted the Torah, and that's the number that now have their mission or their mandate to live up to the Torah and to create utopia. Have a good Shabbos and Chag Sameach.